Welcome to Transform Now, the podcast brought to you by robotic process automation pioneer SS&C Blue Prism. Digital transformation has the potential to reshape the way companies service their customers, engage their employees, and manage their operations. Whether you're looking to develop strategies, tactics, or best practices to positively impact the future of work, or you're curious to see how other companies have successfully navigated their digital transformation programs, then this podcast is for you. We're here to help you transform now.
Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Michael Marchuk. Welcome to the Transform Now podcast. And our guest this episode is Chris Byers, who's the CEO of Formstack, a no-code workplace productivities platform. Formstack recently released a report on the state of digital maturity, which we'll be discussing on our episode today. I'm really looking forward to this conversation with Chris. So welcome.
Michael, thanks for the welcome. I'm excited to be here and talk about it.
Me too. Chris, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Sure. Like I said, I'm Chris Byers. I'm the CEO here at Formstack, and I have been here in this role for 12 years. One really potentially interesting fact for your listeners is I'm located in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. So right in the middle of the country, not always the place you expect to find a tech CEO, but we opened the door to remote nearly 10 years ago now. And so we're a team of 300 people across the globe, and that allows me to actually, I've lived in a number of places since I took on this role, but it allows me to kind of live wherever. And Formstack really helps people with data collection, document generation, and e-signature, which all comes together in this great package of being able to deliver process automation in a no-code way. So we love doing that for 25,000 customers around the world, and would love for anybody to join us on that mission.
I'm sure. So you recently published a study that you work with Mantis Research on the state of digital maturity for advancing workflow automation. Now, when organizations are looking at digital transformation, you found that there are quite a lot of gaps that need to be addressed when progressing towards a more optimal model. So I was hoping you could explain a little bit more about what you found.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think most of us wake up, and if you simply asked us the question, would we like to get rid of paper in our organization or these manual processes that maybe they're back and forth via email, lobbing a Word doc or an Excel doc back and forth, we'd all say yes, we'd love for that to go, get out of the organization. But in reality, that doesn't always happen. And in fact, what we found is really still only 4% of organizations have found that kind of fully automated digital workplace and have really optimized toward that. And we really see a handful of almost elemental things that kind of hold people back. And some of it is just the culture of their organization, like how people operate, who they are, the types of decisions that are we an autonomous place where we let people make their own decisions? Is it all top down? Really mapping out where workflows are succeeding and failing. Asking the question, do you have the right technology? And then really just aligning people toward those goals. And so we found a handful of those just categories that people can excel in or not excel in. And that makes a big difference in them moving down that kind of digital maturity curve.
So in the report, you described there's 4 pillars that you built around in terms of the assessment and the ideas behind it. Can you go through those?
Yeah, absolutely. We try to bucket people in four kind of categories. It was limited. So we just really haven't as a company maybe embraced automated workflows, embraced kind of digitization. We're invested. Maybe we've gotten in, we've taken some early steps. We've got a few things automated. Then there's the refined organization. We're really trying to push toward full digital workflow experiences. So we're committed to it, but we're not there yet. And then those optimized organizations who have really tried to put as much as possible into digitization, process automation, and really getting employees to help guide that process and make that even faster.
So organizations are looking to transform digitally, often need to transform organizationally to move forward in their maturity. Now, one of the pillars is related to culture, and while another is related to team alignment, so more personnel kind of things. I'd like to go a little bit deeper here to understand how these factors can really accelerate or inhibit the growth of workflow automation.
I heard a great story about a bank based actually in Brazil, and they went through this really great process of automating a whole bunch of processes within their organization. Their IT team spent years really developing them, and their goal was to create these customer experiences that were very fast, very elegant, and all digitized. They went through the process and they created some amazing experiences, but they did not bring their team along. They didn't actually teach the organization how to think about a digital world. And so you had all these people who were still thinking about these legacy processes, weren't necessarily bought in. And I think that's where you see where culture doesn't come along, where you don't teach people, hey, this is the way we do things. We want to have a digital first kind of processes, engagement. All of a sudden you can release processes that people will trash day one, and they'll go right back to where they're comfortable, because so many people, and it showed up in the study, so many people, they embrace the status quo. They know how to get the job done in that particular way. And so they stick with it because it's tried and true, and it's not risky. It's risky in the long term because your customers aren't going to respond well in the long term. But in the short term, it doesn't have that same, I use the word risk. I think in reality, it's not risky at all, but that's the way people think about it. And so getting people culturally aligned, getting teams aligned toward those goals is, we've just seen as a really important step to get people thinking about that maturity.
So I keep thinking of the transition people made from flip phones to smartphones. There was a big change in the way you used that pocket device. When you see a technology change like this, when you say people revert back to the old way, to me, it's almost like sounding like they would revert back to a flip phone because they didn't get apps or something along those lines. How do you incentivize people to move forward to these new technologies?
I think that's a great question. Actually, I think the phone example is great. I don't know if you remember, I couldn't put a year on it, but I remember the iPhone came out, what was like 2008. I started using it immediately. I knew a lot of people and lived in a world where a lot of people used it. And then I noticed it was a couple of years into having a smartphone and that more advanced smartphone in terms of the iPhone and the new Android devices. But all of a sudden, I noticed people, call it my parents' age, who just one holiday season all overnight started using them, like went from nowhere to somewhere in terms of that experience. And I think it all goes back to educating people. I think people were nervous about using technology, or they didn't understand it or didn't understand the value. And then they're sitting there talking to, in this case, they're maybe one of their kids or somebody who'd already adopted the technology and saying, oh, you can communicate that fast with people. You can text and not have to get on the phone. And all of a sudden you're saving time. I can buy something online. And although that was a very informal and organic education, I think it speaks to the most important thing we can do is educate people. And that sounds often very like dry and it's not enough, but as you educate people, they're like, oh, I don't have to type the same thing over and over again, or make the same copies, or physically deliver a document. I could stay working where I am. I think when you could turn those light bulbs on through education, that's a huge really wave that you can put into the culture to help people get excited about that change.
So that makes sense. And I look at it from maybe two perspectives. One is the employee perspective, what you just mentioned. Instead of reverting back to their old processes, they leverage the new technology because they actually see something in it for them. So like the example you mentioned, you had the folks your parents' age adopt the new phones a couple of years later because they finally realized perhaps what they were missing out and found out that there's things for them that they could embrace. So that's this technology being, you know, a wonderful tool to do that, the automation and all this stuff. But are there industries where you may have it from a different perspective, looking at the customers who may be the inhibitor to moving forward in the digital maturity curve?
It was not that many years ago that I was like, man, I would love to never walk into a doctor's office and fill out another piece of paper. And so I just started asking, when I'd go to the doctor, I'd start asking doctors, like, what do you ever have people asking for filling this paperwork out online or online beforehand? Because it's so tedious to walk in the door and sit there for 20 minutes when you're just burning time. And what I started hearing, especially in healthcare, is 80% of healthcare dollars are spent by people in their 60s and above. And today we're starting to see a trend of people who, of course, are going to adopt technology. But roll back just 5 years ago, you had people who still didn't have maybe for smartphones. They didn't do many things online. And in fact, it makes them nervous. And so I think you see that often in healthcare. The other place we're seeing a little bit of laggard kind of response, I think, is in education. And I think education has a little bit more to do with, although you've got students, so wouldn't students, young people be the people you'd expect to want technology early? But I think in education, you have this interesting place where an enormous university is really made up of lots and lots of small organizations. It's the School of Business, the School of Nursing, that all stack up. It's at the admissions department. And so they're not actually all communicating. And so even students in this case who might want to interact with they might actually want to interact that way, but they don't know how to get it because there's too many starting points. And so I think that prevents some of the adoption, even in the education world.
How do you think you can get past that, though, for clients where, you know, in an organization with the employees, you have obviously a little more control about how we are going to be using this process, and you emphasize this is the way we do things. How do you, again, going back to that incentive, how do you provide incentives for the customers to make that transition?
I think I'd love to see, especially in healthcare, I'd love to see true cost incentive. We get this on our phone bills all the time. If you'll throw your credit card in and go to automatic payments versus not, you'll get a $5 discount, a $10 discount. Drop that copay fee to have somebody fill out all their documentation before they walk in the hospital or the doctor's office, because I guarantee you it's worth more than the copay, at least on a doctor's visit, maybe not on a hospital visit. But I think there are literally like ways to incent people in that way. The other way I'd say is we saw a really cool example of a customer who was actually a partner of ours who took our technology, and they built a system where you walk into a doctor's office, scan a QR code, and that QR code actually grabs your data that's already living in the system and pre-fills most of the work for you. So if you're a customer, you get this on your device. First of all, we're teaching you, use your device. Let's not give you a piece of paper to fill out if at all possible. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, I just actually have to update like three things and sign it and I'm done. I think when you can give people those like elegant experiences that save them time and kind of money in that way, I think those are some really exceptional ways to just get people on board and get people excited about using that technology.
So continuing that customer experience thought process, what did you find among the organizations who were more digitally mature versus those who were less related to the customer experience?
I think, so part of the study that I really loved was we just asked people, and it wasn't really related truly to the study. It was almost, now we wanted to associate the data points together, but it was simply questions. Is your organization customer forward? Do you think about customer first? Are you somebody who enjoys your work? Are the people around you people who enjoy your work? And what we found is there was a strong correlation, in fact, nearly perfect correlation between organizations that were customer oriented and the amount of digitization they had worked on. Those who had put in the effort, and I'm sure these work together, it's I desire to give my customer a better experience, therefore I will do this. But I also think that we are people that are motivated by helping other people. I think in a lot of cases, if your customers are successful, if you hear good feedback from them, that's going to be very motivational. And so we saw that a strong correlation between people who put the effort in to give their customers elegant, digital, process-driven kind of experience and their belief that they were a customer-focused organization.
That makes sense. As we look at the progress of workflow automation, obviously there's going to be adoption issues from both an employee and a customer's perspective. But as we start minimizing the impacts or minimizing the effects that perhaps some of the digitization issues have uncovered with folks who are less experienced with technology or perhaps don't have access to that technology, where do you see the future of workflow automation going?
I think the strongest trend that I am excited about is organizations who are beginning to really try to hire, it could just be one person, or even just could be somebody who's just good at this kind of the thinking. But those who say, you know what, we're going to have somebody who's full-time or dedicated at least a part of their work toward bettering the processes, getting rid of these repetitive, manual, tedious, intensive processes. We're going to invest in that type of person to really just go around and interview teams. And I know of someone in kind of a solution team that kind of operates out of IT in a very large organization. And she goes around and she simply sits down with every department and says, talk me through your processes, map out how these experiences go. She goes away, she maps out a better experience. She says, here's how it could be done in software in a more powerful way, and creates these just delightful experiences. And that was probably the biggest surprise, I'd say, from our report was morale is actually very much associated with how much you've optimized. And I guess it makes sense. If you're in a legacy, do it the old way, stodgy kind of business, you're probably going to have people who are not quite as excited to be there. And so it's amazing how even that effort toward optimization and becoming more digitally mature can really help your entire workforce, which likely means you're going to be a more successful business.
So I have a question for you related to that, and that is, and I don't know if there's a difference, so maybe you can clarify this. If we look at commercial organizations, we talk about businesses, healthcare, whatnot, versus public sector. So I think of government agencies that may be working with their workflow automation or looking at it. Is there a difference between how they approach it based on what you've seen?
Yeah, it's interesting. One of the things I've started to see, even in public sector, you'd expect this in commercial and very customer-facing worlds, that of course there's some sort of, I got to think about the customer experience. Governments don't tend to be as incented that way, but I've actually seen this great wave of, there's an entire office in the state of Indiana's IT department that is about data science, optimizing citizen experiences effectively. And they're starting to see where they can adopt these processes that make the lives of their citizens better. They're actually saving a ton of time. And so maybe it's a motivation thing. When you're more customer facing and customer oriented, your reason for doing it might be the customer's experience. Oftentimes in these maybe tend to be less forward thinking, they still see the really positive financial results. When we've done studies in the past, this is with our own product, but you see this with productivity products everywhere. Customers tell us they save 15 to 20 hours a week when they use our products. And so those are like real meaningful time savings. And so when a government can do that, or a government office can do that, they know that they can actually advance things and move forward.
So it sounds like it's not only going to benefit the citizens or the folks who are being impacted by the workflows that they're actually participating in, but it could also, like in commercial organizations, affect the employees now who actually feel better about doing the work that they've been doing because they don't have to do it the old way.
Well, absolutely. And think about an economy we're in right now where employees have a strong ability to work wherever they want and in the types of organizations that they want. And so it's important that you are doing things that make their lives better, because if you don't, you're going to have people who just don't really want to work for you. And that causes all kinds of other problems. But the beautiful thing about that is this wonderful marriage of, I can impact my customer and I can impact internal morale, speed, cost. And I think the fact that you can do all that together with becoming more digitally mature is this just nice, like lots of wins all together.
It sounds like digital maturity affects culture, and culture then further affects digital maturity, because it's a virtuous cycle then.
I think that's exactly right. It's great culture that will drive innovation, because you've got people who care about the other people they're working with, whether it's internal people or customers. They then have empathy for those customers because you've got a great culture, and that empathy drives innovation to where, hey, let me make your life better. Let me make your experience better. And then you go execute on something that truly creates an impact, which all of a sudden drives just so much good in the organization. So I think you've said it well.
So my last question for you is, thinking bold and thinking future. Okay, so what is your bold prediction for where this might be in, say, 5+ years? I'm not going to go to 10 years because nobody knows. 10 years, we're all in flying cars again. But 5 years out from now.
Yeah, it's interesting how maybe at times I've been around long enough to know that 5 years, we'll still have so much work to do. But I think one of the amazing things that could really happen is, think about the Kindle experience, that like e-ink style experience. To me, when we can actually provide more light devices like that, that maybe you can walk around with, you can quickly get documents delivered to, emails, whatever. I think if we could really solve that problem, you could truly eliminate paper. Because if you had a very flexible, light kind of device like that, all of a sudden you don't need the paper systems, because sometimes it's the easiest way to get something done. But I think if you could have that flexibility, then you could just hand it off to somebody when they walk in your store or walk in your office and say, hey, click a few buttons here, call it done. But I think that's coming. I think you've got some really cool hardware investments that are going on right now that really could drive that. Some of the, even the cool early notebooks that are digitized in that way, they're remarkable and things like that. But I think when that marries up with actual process automation, I think you could create some just amazing outcomes.
I agree. I appreciate you joining us today, Chris. This discussion was very impactful for me, just seeing how the transitions are happening and what you found when you talk with folks about what it really looks like in terms of their customers and their digital maturity. So I really appreciate you being on here with us today.
Michael, thanks so much. It's been great to talk, and looking forward to all that you've got ahead.
Thanks for tuning in to Transform Now. For more insightful discussions on digital transformation and more, check out our podcast channel where you'll find all of our previous episodes. And to make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast player. And if you like what you've heard, please leave us a review. For more information about digital transformation and the future of work, check out blueprism.com to learn how SS&C Blue Prism's digital workforce is enabling enterprise transformation now.